the Chinese year of the Eastern Bloc.
Welcome to Talking Istanbulics with me, Jorma Kirko, and him.
And, oh, fuck you, Jimmy. Start again now, you bollocks, you.
Welcome to Talking Istanbulics with me, Jorma Kirko, and him.
Ray back, and we're back with a vengeance in James Joyce, our main sponsor for Istanbulics, Talking Istanbulics Comedy Podcast. And glorious weather has continued all this week, Shakers, and I hope that you're experiencing good sunshine wherever you are around the world listening to us. It's absolutely gorgeous here, isn't it, Jimmy?
It is now, yeah. I mean, we've had a lovely week, haven't we? I think it was 27 degrees yesterday. It was a bit colder today and rainy, but it's become a nice evening, so yeah. Anyway, today's show is brought to you by Portable Restroom Operator Monthly, the authoritative voice for folks that deal in outdoor shitting equipment. And this week's show is fuller than a portaloo on day 3 of Glastonbury.
You shit us not, Jimster. Hayden Stokes, that really, really, really woke bloke, is back with us, congratulating an expectant mother. And we've also, Shakers, got true or false post of the week. But as always, Shakers, let's kick off with Morgan Freedman reading a poem about Jimster. No, so sorry, about aging.
Yes, wait till you hear what he says about you, Ray.
Hi, Shakers. Ray got in touch with me last weekend and told me that Jorma only has 162 days left of his 40s and that Jorma has been a bit poorly lately. Now, as I pointed out to Ray, as he's 10 years older than Jorma, that in just 169 days, he'd be eligible for his own bus pass, too. Ray hadn't quite thought of it that way before, but I reassured him that I'm a lot older than the both of them. Anyway, while I was on a plane recently, I penned this poem. It's semi-autobiographical, but either way, it's a tribute to the Talking Istanbulics boys. So, here is Getting Older by Morgan Freedman. A bit older now, as each year passes, I board the plane, rummage for my glasses. Up before dawn, the first flight of the day. Hope my guts will be better by Monday. Restaurant food, booze by the bucket, goes through me these days like a brown rocket. Once I had guts of Valyrian steel. Didn't need to worry about what I'd feel. Dehydrated, sleepy, can't get comfy. A baby cries when the flight gets bumpy. Turbulence, my armrest grip grows tight. I hope the Imodium blocks my shite. Try to keep my leg up. A dodgy knee. Aggravated by breaststroke in the sea. Ingrowing toenails. A chest infection. Fine down there, but too tired for erections. Thankfully, the headphones drown out the baby. If I hadn't brought them, I'd go crazy. Then I realize I need a loose motion. My intestines have poisonous notions. The sleeping guy by me, he's been drinking. I nudge him, but he's not even blinking. I spill water on him and give him a shake. And finally, he seems to come awake. He says sorry, and he starts to get up. But as he stands up, he drops his wine cup. The hostess comes to clean up all the mess. She doesn't exactly come over fast. Finally, it's clean. And I move to the aisle, a grimace on my face in place of a smile. As I stand there, the damn food truck comes round. And the flight attendant makes me sit down. I take Gaviscon, hoping my luck holds out. I should be okay, but I still have my doubts. A tickle up my nose. Hay fever teases. Please God, I'll repent. Just don't let me sneeze.
Ha 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 That was a very memorable flight, Jimmy. That dodgy knee playing up as usual. The yes. sinus infections, Jimmy. Food poisoning, tickly old cough. Cold sores and a bad, bad dose of the shites. Jimmy, you are blessed with every feckin' illness going, pal.
Hold on a minute, Ray. You're making it sound as if I write Morgan's poems. Well, that isn't exactly how it works, is it now?
You have a fair old share in it, pal.
I mean, maybe by coincidence, a very, very similar thing did happen to me on a flight coming back from Greece last week, but... Yeah, good old Morgan. Good old Morgan. I'm sure he's better now anyway.
Welcome back anyway, Jimmy. And you had a nice time, did you?
Yeah, it was really good, actually. It was good to get away, get a few things sorted out as well. And, going to get a car. Got that sorted out last week. And so that'll be good next time we're there. And, really good. Looking forward to being there next time.
Yeah, but the really frightening old thing about middle age, the old half a century, Jimster, is...
Yeah, the funny thing is you don't know what Morgan said.
You'll grow out of it.
Because I didn't play you that bit.
George Bernard Shaw once quoted, Jimmy, "You don't stop laughing when you grow old. You grow feckin' old when you stop laughing."
Well, that is true. That is true. And I tell you what, you'll be laughing all the way to the bank once you get your bus pass. And you won't need to be coughing up all your little coppers to get on the bus and the metro, will you?
Yeah, and Jimmy...
Only 18 weeks now, Ray.
How would you bite me? 18 weeks. On a final note, men shouldn't be using hydraulics into their 50s, Jimmy.
A hard-on of hydraulics is
that? A hard-on should be gotten legitimately. Or not at all.
Oh, I see. Okay. what are you referring to exactly with hydraulics?
You know, I think it's probably a posh name for Viagra, is it?
Oh, I see. I thought you were talking about some kind of bizarre drilling, boring...
No,
toy.
No, that was a fancy name. Roofies and Baileys, Jimmy. That's what keeps you.
Roofies and Baileys all the way. I'll raise my glass of Roofies and Baileys to that one, Raymond.
Where are we?
Yeah. If you want a poem read about absolutely anything, don't send in a poem request for a famous poem. This will be an original poem. Send in your topic, whatever you want it to be, and Morgan, definitely not me, will write a poem about that. So the email address, as usual, talkingistanbullocks@gmail.com. Okay, right? Enough talking Istan hydraulics. The YouTube's page is picking up a bit, isn't it, Ray?
It is indeed. Good man.
Yeah, it is indeed. Got quite a few sketches up there. So why not go on Talking Istanbulluk's YouTube page and follow us, please, if you will. The likes help a little bit. It's just like using Facebook or anything like that. Don't look and don't like or comment. It doesn't help anything. A like is okay, but it's comments and shares that we want. If you like something, this show, any of our videos, hit like, hit a comment, share it with one of your friends. There's some nice sketches up there. So if you haven't been to the page yet, please do have a look at that. We've got the Liam Neeson video up there from last week. We've got Caden Stokes' first one up there and a number of old Donald Trump ones, a couple of Morgan Freeman ones. When we did the Gladiator sketch, it was about a year ago now. That's up there as well. Please have a look. We're trying to get 1,000 views still for the Woke Bloke Reports a Crime.
So
with your help, we can do that, hopefully. True or false, Ray?
Yeah, just before true or false, hits, comments, and shares. You dig, Shakers, hits, comments, and shares. Keep that up. Good skills.
Yeah. Now, next time we rename the podcast, Ray, we could call it that. Hits, comments, and shares.
Yeah, with a little bit of added hydraulics. Jimmy, Phil Thompson, English retired footballer. His father, Eric Norman Thompson, English actor, scriptwriter, and stage director, was the narrator of The Magic Roundabout. True or false?
Sorry, say that again. Phil Thompson's dad?
Yeah.
Well, Phil English Thompson, actor, let me think. Phil Thompson must be about 70 now, mustn't he? And The Magic Roundabout, for people who don't know, that was a kids' program in the 1970s that was somewhat psychedelic, wasn't it?
Funky, psychedelic, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
1965 to 1977.
Yeah, is that right? It was brilliant, The Magic Roundabout. It was just like being on an acid trip. You know, they were talking snails. There was a cow called Ermintrude who was really cute, who wore this this lovely hat. And it was mad. But I reckon Phil Thompson must be around 70 now.
Less.
But then again, he would have been in the peak of his playing career at the time that that was on. But you're saying that his dad narrated it. I'm just trying to think. I can't think how that could be at all. I've never heard anything about it. I had it in my head that... Phil Thompson was a Scouser. And I can't remember what the narrator sounded like, but I'm absolutely sure it wasn't a Scouser. The only thing I can think of that's been narrated by a Scouser was Thomas the Tank Engine. Yeah. So, I'm going to go for false.
Okay, we'll give it to you. Actually, I was doing that in a roundabout way. I was trying to confuse you. It wasn't Phil Thompson. Emma Thompson's father.
Oh! Well, almost the same thing.
Yeah. A roundabout, Jimmy. A roundabout, by the way, is a carousel, as translated from English to American. The idea of the Magic Roundabout was that carousel ride characters came alive and shared adventures, and joining in on the ride, I like that, joining in on the ride was a girl called Florence and her shaggy dog Dougal.
That's right, Dougal.
Who often got into mischief. That was transmitted, Jimmy, in 1965 to 77. He also wrote the English language scripts using the visuals from the original French Le Ménager Enchanté.
Can you spell that for me, right?
L-E-M-A-N-E-G-E-E-N-C-E. Le Ménager Enchanté.
Enchanté, okay.
Yeah. Now, seriously, Jimmy, I vaguely remember watching as a child, but it was much more enjoyable watching it as an adult. A little bit like Captain Pugwash.
Yeah. Captain Pugwash, that was fantastic, wasn't it?
Brilliant.
And you know what the best thing about about Captain Pugwash was? Again, if you didn't see this... This was a cartoon about pirates, and everybody for years, that probably finished in around the same time in the 70s, and everybody said, because everyone was obsessed with the fact that things had a hidden meaning in those days. So, you know, the Magic Roundabout was about LSD, and Captain Pugwash apparently had characters in it called Master Bates and Roger the Cabin Boy. Yeah, and more people think that that is true than probably ever actually watched it. Yeah. And it wasn't true at all, but it was wonderful how you could start an urban myth in those days, wasn't it?
Yeah. But you were saying...
Like Bob Holness playing the sax solo in Baker Street.
Uh, I do like a little bit of sax. Yourself?
I'm a sax maniac, right?
But rumor had it that Emma Thompson, her father,
Phil,
when he wrote, yeah, he, you know, he was supposed to be partaking in Roofies and Bailey's during that. But his daughter, Emma Thompson, she denied it, Jimster.
What, the Roofies and Bailey's?
And the acid and whatever came with it.
All right, okay. Yeah. Actually, I could see that, because you can get that kind of effect, can't you, off Roofies and Bailey's?
Indeed, yeah. But Jimmy, Zebedee was the talking Jack in the Box with the magic powers. My personal favourites, Ermintrude the Cow.
Yeah.
With Dylan. Come on, man. Dylan.
Was Dylan the dog?
He would stand out as the most pivotal.
Yeah. Was he the dog? Oh, no, that was Dougal the dog.
That was Dougal the dog, yeah. But Jimmy, he was clearly feckin' high as a kite.
Yeah.
Jimmy, this is a true story. I have a lot of friends from college back in the day in Ballina who later got married, and they called their sons Dylan. I shit you not, Jimmy. The name was going around like a roundabout in Ballina.
That's magic.
Isn't it just, Jimmy, I also remember...
And it was nothing to do with Bob.
Nothing to do with Bob. Oh, Jimmy. I remember back in the day, at one particular sleepover at a friend's house, his sister's room had magic roundabout wallpaper and a Dougal soft toy. And don't ask me how I got into his sister's room.
All right, I won't.
Kind of spy when I was going.
By the way, Ray, how did you get into the sister's room?
I went in to look at our knickers. You know.
Oh, was it Mrs. O'Leary?
Well, it could have been Catherine O'Leary for all I remember. Jasper Carrot had a double A-sided record, Funky Moped, and on the other side was Magic Roundabout. Some say that Jasper actually wrote the best version ever, but I can't actually remember that.
No, nor can I.
Yeah.
Nor can
I. And the old punk joke that went with it. Time for bed, said Zebedee. Up yours, said Florence. Jimmy, the two Ronnies got in on the act, saying the producers of the show admitted the rumour that Zebedee and Florence had spent the night together. It was true, and went on to announce that Florence was expecting a spring baby.
Wow. No hydraulics involved either.
What's that thing, Jimmy?
Or prosthetics.
Did Channel 4 revamp or refurbish it in the 90s with Nigel Planner doing the narrator? Question.
Nigel Planner, who was Neil in The Young Ones, you mean?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Anyway, Jimmy, psychedelic stuff, Shakers, when things were much, much easier.
Yes, indeed. Do you know what I was watching the other week? Just having a look at a few clips, Ray. Do you remember Bagpuss?
Again?
Bagpuss.
Vaguely.
Bagpuss, it was a wonderful thing. It was was written in the 70s, and this guy, he wrote it, he directed it. It was a kind of puppet show in a way, but it started off with this kind of, what do you call it? You know how photographs used to look in the Victorian days? I've forgotten what it is, where they weren't exactly black and white. They almost looked brown. And there was this guy, and he owned a toy shop, and he had a daughter called Emily. And when he closed the toy shop at night, they didn't sell anything. And when they closed the toy shop at night, all the toys in the shop came to life. And there was this pink and white cat called Bagpuss. And there were all these mice who used to repair all the broken toys. And there was this clever professor who was a wooden woodpecker called Professor Yaffle. It was absolutely magical. But the only, God, to think you could do all that by CGI now, but all of that was done. It was carved by hand, everything. Bagpuss. Apparently, it's still counted in the top 10 British kids' programs of all time. And I think they only made 10 episodes.
So it was magical.
It was. It wasn't quite as surreal.
In a roundabout way.
As the magic roundabout or anything like that. But it was absolutely lovely. Look it up, right?
Nice. You're a great old man for the information. Mm. Question number two, because I feel like giving you an animal celebrity, because you do like it.
And I deserve it.
You do. You're a good lad. And welcome back. And you've been poorly. Before mating, before partaking in a wee spot of jiggy-jiggy, male giraffes, Jimster.
Mm-hmm.
Beer is jumping. Yeah, I can't forget that. And a bit of how's your father. Mm-hmm. Male giraffes, Jimster, they headbutt the females in the bladder until they pee. Then taste it to see if she is ovulating, pal.
Huh. That's interesting. Well, they do a lot of headbutting and things, don't they? I mean, with having a neck like that, it's one of their primary thing. I've seen them headbutt each other, but in the where did you say in the fanny?
In the bladder.
In the bladder. How do they do it in the bladder?
Yeah, well, they do it in the bladder. They headbutt it under their long necks, Jimmy.
I know, but how do they get into the bladder? I mean, up the giraffe's arse.
Well, the old sack, you know? They give it an old headbutt.
I'm quite confused as how anybody could headbutt anybody in the bladder.
This is actually a piece of information we could have done without today. Jimmy, they have some nick on them for doing that.
Yeah, they do. They do. Brass neck, as they say. I still can't get my head round the bladder thing.
Around it. Could you get a headbutt around it?
Yeah. But they are quite a peculiar species, the giraffe. Most giraffes are men who do as with other men. Giraffes tend to prefer their own sex for sexual congress. And they mate with each other. I think I read somewhere that something like 90% of giraffes are primarily homosexual. So I would imagine that there is a little check to see if somewhere in that kind of area to see if the giraffe is actually fertile, and if not, then Johnny Giraffe just gets Jeffrey Giraffe to bend over and gives him one. That is true, that about bisexual and homosexual giraffes.
You're as well to go for it. So you have two truths now.
Yes.
You're too good. You're too good to be true.
Yeah. I noticed the animal celebrity true or false. They nearly always involve something to do with sex for some reason, Raymond.
Yeah, because I know you like that.
Tremendous interest in animal sex, don't you? Or bestiality, as we call it.
Goats are up to the same shenanigans, Jimmy. All that head and button crack as well.
Actually, yeah, they do, but they're not gay.
But, but this is taking golden showers to a brand new level. They can survive for up to 2 days or 3 days, Jimmy, without drinking water, because they get their water from their food and the dew on the plants. Live for about 25 years in the wild if they don't come up against a couple of lions and tigers and stuff.
Yeah.
Giraffe fights are very impressive to watch, Jimmy, fighting each other and with other animals. A couple of weeks ago, I saw a channel on TV, and he was kicking a lion, and I couldn't tell for sure, Jimmy, but I was sure that he broke something from that kick.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's like a mule, Jimmy. The kick of a mule.
Yeah. I mean, they're quite powerful things. I mean, they're a strange shape, but I mean, they wouldn't be an easy animal for a lion, or as we found out last week, for lionesses to hunt down, would they? Babies, maybe, but I mean, one kick from anything with hooves like that, and, you know, the lions.
Well, they say it's a savage.
A lion sleeps tonight.
As dangerous. Yeah, exactly. It's just as dangerous as a mule. In theory, Shakers, and on a wee final note, and I've heard it all now in my 57 years in September, finding out giraffes How like many? Golden showers. Nature is a wonderful, beautiful thing, Jimmy, but it's not my cup of tea.
Who said that?
The giraffes. Anyway, I think we're going to leave the old Animus Liberties until next week.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, I'm the subject of animals, actually. A pal of mine in Crete, Ian. Hi, Ian. Ian listens quite often. He's just setting up a beach bar at the moment, and he's calling it the Oasis. And he's a good chef, Ian. You know, he's got this, and it's well worth going to if you're in Kalyves, not too far from Hania in Crete. It's going to be called the Oasis. It opens, I think, in 2 weeks. But he's got a stretch of beach, and he's actually he was talking about getting a camel for the beach, you know, and doing rides up and down the beach and all that. And you know, the camels. You know, Oasis, camels, all that kind of thing, and the sand. I think it'd be quite a good gimmick, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Where's that again?
That's in Crete. That's in a place called Kalyves on the seafront, just about 30 minutes from Hania Airport. So, well worth going, and if you fancy riding a camel, go to Oasis.
Go on, you dirty thing. You.
You'll kill me for saying that.
Good morning. Don't be taking the hump now, okay?
Well, we did all that last week. I'm just glad I talked him out of getting the elephant. That was an original idea, but anyway.
Caden Stokes, Jimmy, is back with a vengeance, and he made a big splash 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And he's back today on a bus where he meets a pregnant lady, and he tries to talk. He tries to make small talk, the bollocks.
Well, I'm sure that'll go well for him.
Caden Stokes, Caden Stokes, Caden Stokes is a really woke bloke. Early in the morning, as the day was dawning, Caden is a really weird man.
Hi, listeners. My name is Caden Stokes. It's awesome to be here. I'm deeply passionate about challenging systemic injustices and amplifying marginalized voices. Welcome to my world. Oh, congratulations. Are you going to be a birthing person?
Sorry.
Are you expecting a baby?
Baby? Yes, my husband and I make baby 7 months ago.
That's wonderful.
I will be mother.
That's primary caregiver, to be more precise, but I forgive you. English is obviously not your first language. You know, when it comes to raising a child, it's important to consider gender-neutral options. Like, instead of traditional blue or pink, you could go for more neutral colors.
I hope it's boy. Strong man like father.
I'm not really sure if you should say that. It's like super offensive. But you know, so long as you recognize masculine ideals of the past are not indelible and infallible, it's theoretically possible to have a cisgender male that believes in social justice and empathy. I mean, I'm broadly cis and...
You are cis, like gay?
OMG. That is so, like, hyper-personal. I might occasionally be a man who has sex with men, but I do not identify as gay. Look, I'm just trying to educate you about how things work in this country in 2024.
I am British national. My husband is professional boxer from Weston, Super Mare.
Boxing? That is such a prime example of toxic masculinity. He probably had an abusive father and was forced to repress his emotions to strive to fit in with traditional gender roles.
He is good man. He treat me very good. He buy me all what I want and never hit.
I just cannot believe your system of values. It's all about breaking down barriers and promoting equality from a young age. We have to challenge the status quo and create a more inclusive society for our children. You say he's a good man, but he's probably forcing you to be a homemaker.
You are right.
Thank you.
He is very good man. Like my father, strong.
This is incredible.
Kind.
I'm trying to educate you on important social issues, and all you can do is smile and nod like a clueless fool.
We have a saying in Poland, we are ourselves destiny. I want a boy, good boy, play football, box, masculine, honest, good.
Whatever. Look, do you want your child to be a toxic abuser? And what if he were LGBT?
What is BLT? Like sandwich?
Unbelievable. Just what if your child is gay or trans?
Why I want boy who wear dress? People laughing at him is stupid. But I love him who he is.
You're nothing but a fucking narcissistic turf moron. You're probably only over here for the benefits. Why don't you just go back to Russia or whatever patriarchal third world shithole you're really from?
Hey buddy, that's enough. You've no right to speech like that.
I can say what I like. Don't you believe in free speech? She doesn't even understand what I'm saying. She's part of the problem, perpetuating ignorance and inequality.
Perpetuate this.
O, dziękuję bardzo, panie. Uratowałeś mi życie. He's very stupid man. Yes.
Or a kid. Some kind of piss Jimin. Jimmy. Jimin. I reckon that bloke shampoos his crotch.
I think so. I would think so.
What does he use in hydraulics?
I would think he does. I would think he uses hydraulics, most definitely. I don't even want to think about what Caden gets up to. But it'd be difficult getting in a conversation with him, wouldn't it?
But to be seriously, near the end, I loved it. I reckon he got the old Scottish kiss, didn't he?
I think he did. I liked how the boss kind of... But it wasn't one, was it? There was one. Yeah. Is perpetuate this, and then all of a sudden I kind of got the feeling that other people joined in, and then there was a bit of a cheer as well, and
love the Polish English accent. Lots of Polish friends in Ballina. And if you're listening in, I really hope you enjoyed that.
I mean, that was the thing. She was just a really, really normal woman, wasn't she? She was having a baby. She didn't need all that, but anyway, there we go.
What I'm telling you, kid. Oh, Jesus Christ. He's irritating, Jimmy. It's,
well, but he's not gay, though, Ray. He just is a man who has sex with men occasionally, you know?
So that's not gay?
No, that's not gay. In fact,
that's not gay, Ray.
That is so hyper-personal.
Hmm.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Oh, that's not gay, Ray. Oh, do you remember, Ray, when me and...
Our friend Rob,
we're on the beach in Anstruther in Scotland, and we were just going to the fish and chip shop, and then we walked onto the beach and we saw written in very, very big letters in the sand, Ray is gay, and we took a photograph of it for you. I'd forgotten about that. Do you remember that?
How could I ever forget it?
Yeah, I've no idea who wrote that at all, and I don't know which Ray they were referring to, but I don't know. Maybe.
Moving on quickly. Post
maybe it was
of
you.
The week.
Black Milkshake, best post of the week.
Aidan McMahon from Cork in good old Ireland, Jimmy.
Hello,
this
Aidan.
Hi, Aidan. This bloke goes to the council to apply for a job. The interviewer asks him, are you allergic to anything? He replies, yes, caffeine. I can't drink coffee. Ah, okay. Have you ever been in the military service? Yes, he says. I was in Iraq for one tour. The interviewer says, that will give you 5 extra points, pal, toward employment. Good skills. Then he asks, are you disabled in any way? The guy says, yes. Unfortunately, a bomb exploded near me and I lost both of my feckin' testicles. Oh, Jesus, sweet Mary, Mother of God. So sorry to hear that. But the good news is you've got enough points right now for me to hire you right this moment. Our normal hours are from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can start tomorrow at 10 a.m. and plan on starting at 10 a.m. every day. The bloke is baffled, Shakers, or discombobulated, for a better word, Jimster, and asks, if our normal hours are from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., why don't you want me to come in until 10 a.m.? This is a government job, the interviewer says. For the first 2 hours, we just stand around drinking coffee and scratching our balls. Definitely no point in you coming in. Definitely no point in you coming in for that, pal.
Oh, brilliant.
Aiden. That was definitely a little bit below the belt. But a nice one, Aiden.
Yes, it was.
Good skills. I love it.
A kick in the balls, eh? Yeah, brilliant. Thanks a lot for that, Aiden. That's another wrap for episode 67. Don't forget to pass the show on to a friend. Social media, as we said, is a place where you need to... How did you put it, Ray, before? That we hit, share, comment. Was that what you said?
Hit, share, and comment.
Hit, share, comment, and recommend. Keep the poetry requests coming in and kiss and tell stories as well. Hansi's back next week with his monthly horoscope, so that should be fun.
Huge thanks for your support, as usual, Shakers. If you enjoy the show... You know what you got to do. Special thanks to I love this part. Special thanks to Portable Restroom Operator Monthly. Duncan Chesley, good skills on the show today.
Mark E., Istanbul Council, who are currently preparing Ray's bus pass. And, of course, Eamon McAndrew.
Until next week, Shakers. Good skills.
Good skills.
Talking Istanbulics comedy podcast was brought to you by Ray Mack and Yorma Kiriko and was produced by James Kirk. No animals or copyright were violated during the making of this podcast. Talking Istanbulics 2024.